Hooray, the recording has started.
Yay!
Oh my goodness. All right, so today is Tuesday, September 12th, 2017. I'm Ann Strong. We are here for the Strong From Within integration call. And oh my goodness, let's go into an opening. So I pulled these intuitively. I didn't look. I just went to pages. And so what came up is a prayer from the upcoming book, Strong From Within, called Fully Engaged. And it's kind of funny given that I just had trouble getting authorization to do the recording. So here we go. Fully engaged. One foot in, one foot out. A familiar way of being. The accompanying angst, tug of war within, a familiar feeling. Always trying to choose. Deep breath. Allowing both to be. Fully engaged with both, with all. Deep breath. Allowing both, allowing all, fully engaged. That felt
It struck me.
emotional to me.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
The struggle of paradox, I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. It actually kind of calmed me down, like, oh, it's all right. It's all right to be in paradox. It's all right to be in struggle. It's all right to have one foot in and one foot out. It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
I was at a long time ago, I was at a retreat, and one of the things that he said was, like, with like great gravity, like, get this. And it was, the world is full of paradox. It's like, oh, at the time I thought I was better at it, but it just sort of depends on the day.
Better at what?
Handling multiple realities at the same time.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
so coming back from this weekend, now I'm in this place where it's like, oh, this feels normal. Huh. It's like I'm confused by the normal.
do you mean that process where you were intensely engaged with your voice and whatever wanted to come up was normal, or what are you referring to as what's normal?
As in, like, oh, so now I'm back and I have to, worry about food and work and, getting to and from the airport and things like that after coming from, this rich spiritual experience. And the paradox of those two worlds is, it usually doesn't hit me quite as much, but this time it's like, oh, gosh. I don't know if I want to be in this normal place. And then I also appreciate it because I am tired.
Sure. You know what's interesting about what you're saying about the normal place? I'm reading a book right now called The Way of Mastery that is channeled from Jesus, and not a light read, but very inspiring. And one of the key points is you, I, need do nothing. Like we think we have to get the food and think about the details and do some work. And those are thoughts, you know? We can either work or not work, eat or not eat, get food or not get food. And occasionally, for like a few seconds, I get the enormity of that, and then I go right back to getting busy getting some food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is like the advanced level of this strong from within business.
Well, you know, we're just going to have to get advanced. I was in a discussion over this weekend that was interesting, and it's like there were a lot of pyramid sorts of structures, and so Maslow's pyramid was like referred to. And this guy I was talking to, he was talking about how he went on this hike with some friends, and the overall conversation was around, you know, this was like a random thing in a meal of, you know, where's this world going to go, and, you know, what if systems crash, and things like that, because he's sort of learning, you know, more how to survive on a survival level if he needed to. And he was talking about going on this hike, and it was with a bunch of guys, and the hike turned out to be longer than they thought it was going to be, and maybe a little more strenuous. And about 2 hours passed where one of these guys would usually eat, he starts freaking out, like, I got to get some food. And he's like, he was angry and antsy, and it just kept amping up and up and up. And this is like 2 hours past when this guy usually eats. And the discussion was like, oh my gosh, you know, where are we going to go in a situation on a world level if, you know, things go awry and people can't handle themselves without food for 2 hours? Sure, everyone else was fine. So, you know, maybe everyone else's threshold of, like, I need to survive might be 3 hours or a day or 2 days. But, you know, I'm thinking about that hierarchy of needs, and it's like, yeah, we really – at some point, we can't do anything if we're not eating and safe.
On a human level.
Tell me more.
So what if, well, I've been thinking a lot and playing a lot with the idea of long beyond the time I shed this body, this physical existence, I still exist. Now, I don't remember or know a lot about what that's like, but I completely get that that's true. And yet at the same time, I'm so identified with this body now that needs food, I would be freaked out after 2 hours for sure. I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Been there, done that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if we mess up our world so badly that now it's not 2 hours or 2 days or even 2 weeks, eventually I will let go of this body and be wherever I was all along or wherever I'm going next or, you know, whatever that is. I mean, this is pretty esoteric and who knows exactly what it is, but it's something. Somehow that makes the frighteningness of this world and all of our systems like less like, oh, it's imperative, otherwise I won't survive. It's like, or will you? Not with this body. Yeah, I'm pretty darn certain you will survive. So I don't think that would be super comforting in the third, fourth, eighth hour when I'm starving, but I'll bet you at some point it's like, okay, surrender to this too. So,
right. I do agree. And you know, in the world gone mad, or of course, all of this can be in esoteric philosophical terms of, you know, any world, any transition. It's just like my survival is threatened, and to come to the peace of it's going to be all right. That could be a long, violent, possibly terrifying couple hours, days, weeks, months.
Right.
Before you finally come to the place of peace where it's like, oh, well, it really doesn't matter that much. I'll be fine.
Or what if it goes to some place where in the middle of the delirium it's like, oh, yeah, I remember I'm going home and I don't have to take this carcass with me.
Right. Yeah, I totally
something,
hear you.
Something has been very much around me lately about somewhere in some of my grief reading, I read something completely obvious, but I'd never thought of it before, that every single thing and person that comes into this world eventually goes out or ends or completes. And it's so, death is such a funny thing because we seem to revere, celebrate, worship life at any cost, keep going, death is bad, you know, death somehow, if we're tricky enough or bright enough, we'll not die, but everybody dies. Everything dies.
Yeah.
So why do we make it so scary and special and set apart and not talked about? And I know a lot of people who are dying or dead. I know a lot of people who have a lot of people around them who are dying or dead. You know, it's intense. I don't in any way want to make light of it or be disrespectful about it, but it's just very curious to me and very much up for me right now.
Yeah.
So certainly not what I was thinking we were going to dive into, but hey, if you can be strong from within around all of that.
Yeah, right. I mean, okay, you're going to die.
Days.
Be strong from within.
Well, maybe it gives us a little bit more permission to be here how we want to. I don't know. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you know, I sometimes hope for that, oh, yeah, okay, so one time around, maybe. I mean, it depends on what you believe, but we all die in the end, so live fully while you've got it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and of course you're right. I know that not everybody believes there's more than this body, and that would seem really scary to me. And I don't know if I believe there are other lives per se. I think probably so, but if not, I feel kind of certain that we're energy that keeps going regardless. But who knows? You know, I don't know that for sure. And maybe that's it. You know, maybe we think our safety is in certainty. And come on, what is really certain? And it seems like trying to get everything nailed down probably causes more stress than it alleviates in the end. And I know I'm speaking to a person with deliberative in his top five.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about the one certain thing, which is what we're talking about, death.
Right, right.
So funny. So I was watching there's a new Louis C.K. special on Louis C.K. on Netflix. It's called Louis 2017. And he just goes into suicide. And he's just like, you know, you do have an option if you want to get out of your bills.
Oh, so taxes. See, they always say death and taxes, but he's like, nah, not taxes.
Right. He's just like, there's an option. It was hilarious. It's
I mean, it's so wrong. I think it's more wrong than I've ever seen him, and so funny. Highly recommended. Speaking of, you know, dealing with death.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
And it's true. It, as funny as that is, and as much as we say, yeah, uh-huh, but that's equally true about any other decision. So I wonder what it takes for us to know that in our bones.
I know. As the deliberative that I am, I think that pattern makes it harder to know things in my bones, because it's like my bones can say different things. And that almost brings me back to, I mean, that kind of brings me back to what we started with, the paradox of it. How about holding two things or three things or four things
mm-hmm.
all true?
Yeah. How about I'm going to stay here and I'm darn well going to eat in a few minutes, and who knows what's next and what comes after I let go of this carcass, and, you know, like, it's okay. There's a lot of internal pressure, it feels like, and maybe this is personal to me, maybe each person experiences it somewhat different, but this idea that I've got to do things a certain way seems like a lot of internal pressure to me. And what if
yeah.
I don't?
I was watching recently a guy, he's a pretty successful online dude, and somebody asked him the question, what are the things that you don't compromise in your day? It's just like whatever. And he's like, everything is negotiable.
It is.
Yeah, it is. He's like, if you get stuck thinking one way, then that just closes off all kinds of possibilities that could have opened to you because you were so stuck thinking that you have to, you know, do this at a certain time of day. He's like, yeah, I do things on a pretty regular basis, but I'm not going to miss out on some great opportunity because
it wasn't in the schedule.
Yeah, because I won't negotiate.
Yeah. Hello, who else just joined us?
Hey, it's Janet.
Hey, Janet. At the moment, it's
Janet.
Me and Ephraim. So now we have a quorum, you and me and Ephraim.
Cool.
And who knows, maybe, well, I'm thinking with all of your wonderful strategic thinking strengths, Ephraim and I have gone completely off topic, which, of course, you'll be very curious to hear when the recording comes out. And I was thinking just a couple minutes ago, I wonder if we should actually look at what we're here to look at, which we went well beyond that. We're in much more esoteric things about all of life being negotiation, if we want it to be, and what's beyond death, and do we ever really need to eat again? So now to come back and talk about, well, you know, what does strong from within mean to you? Why do you want to be strong from within? It's kind of hilarious. So, not to put you on the spot.
I don't know,
that
one sounds more interesting, but...
Right. Yeah, who knows? Maybe we just graduated the whole darn program. Oh, my gosh. That would literally break my brain. So maybe that's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
What could I do with a broken brain? Imagine that.
Well, I can switch gears back to that strong within stuff.
I hear you. I probably can,
yeah.
Too. So let's see. So I think the place I would like to start is, I guess what strikes me is the stuff we were talking about before you arrived, Janet, seems very, like, sort of beyond the human aspect of us, and that the whole strong from within forum and premise and things we're talking about seem to be how to work with our human form. And we started, Ephraim and I started with paradox. So there's this beautiful thing of, hey, we can have that whole conversation about sort of us beyond our humanness. And then also, probably all of us are going to still eat yet this evening, right? So, you know, let's look at the what and why. Why not?
Yeah. But I don't know, just, you know, me is like, if we are fully living in our strengths completely, does that make us transcend beyond our body?
It's a great question, isn't it?
That would be awesome.
Will you say that again? I missed it.
Oh, I was like, if we fully lived in our strengths 100% of the time, would that help us transcend beyond the body?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny because even though we're talking a little bit about, you know, death and that possibility, I don't know if I even want to transcend beyond the body. It's like, ooh, it's so great here. It's like I'm imagining like living in all of my strengths, and at the same time, that just fuels the tool that is my body.
True. I don't know that I would want to not live in my body, but.
Yeah.
Or maybe if you could choose when to and when not to.
Right. I like that.
That's good. We'll fly around for a while and then come back and eat dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't miss dessert.
Right?
Right. There's no missing fucking dessert.
Right? No. Nobody wants to do that. I'm wondering if it's something like, I love your question, Janet, like if somehow any of us or all of us knew how to be in all of our top five strengths all of the time, that means we're doing something pretty darn amazing for us, right? Like that's our spark, our gift, our genius, whatever. And so maybe it's about transcending the body, maybe not, and maybe it depends on our strengths, our gift, our genius. But to me, my fleeting experiences of being like, oh my gosh, all my strengths were operating there, that was amazing, is sort of like the best of being in this world. I don't know if for me it feels like going beyond it necessarily, but maybe for some it would. So, very great question to explore.
Uh-huh. Well, and I mean, I guess you'd have to be in the good parts. I mean, like not like to any extreme of your strengths that get you in trouble.
Exactly. It would be like if they were all operating brilliantly. And I heard you sort of say, good, bad, and back off of it. And it's one of my practices right now not to use any of those words. And boy, is it hard.
It is, because I was trying not to say it and I still said it.
Right.
Well, and then I was thinking, you know, like when, like if your chakra is all aligned perfectly and they're all like spinning perfectly. And it's a completely different experience.
Well, you know, I think now that you've joined us, our conversation is similar to what it was before.
I'm sorry, you can go on to the thing that we're supposed to talk about if you want.
I was telling Ephraim before when it was just him and me, like months ago when I was going to start this program, to have only one participant, it would be like, well, that's not how you do a program. It's like, wait a minute, we're here. This is how you do this program today. This is what keeps coming up. And so the fun thing for me and the thing that makes me very curious about doing a program like this is my commitment is to show up prepared, to pick the prayers, to hold the space, and then we create whatever's here. And eventually when the program's having people come in at different times, they'll be engaging with material that we've already talked about several times. And also there's that whole spiral where if we all went through the material at the same rate, the same time, when we got done with it, we could circle back around to the beginning and our relationship with that material would have changed. And as we're finding out today, her relationship with it right now is different than I imagined when I wrote the material. But I don't know that I feel very inclined to say, we've got to, the three of us now have to conform to that structure. And hey, that's my individualization and my connectedness at work. You know, there's some reason we're talking about this. And even when you joined us, we just expanded it, right? It wasn't like, oh, okay, well, now let's talk content. Like, well, we are talking content, different content. And but, hey, so I would say what we're doing is what we're to be doing today. And if I think about the broadest definition, because I was telling Ephraim something I did between last week and this week was realize when we were talking last week about why do any of us want to be strong from within, I had completely skipped over what, because the way I describe strong from within and the way you do, Ephraim, and the way you do, Janet, it's going to be different. And my guess is it's going to be different from day to day, moment to moment. And what I would say if I were to answer that question for myself right now, it's very broad. Like, how can we, each of us, on this call and beyond this call and on this whole planet, receive the full experience of any moment? Like, that would probably be my answer right now. And that's pretty exciting, and it kind of transcends some of this material, but it's also like, well, what are the practices that help me do that? And given that, that's my answer, but I think I'll just go ahead and ask each of you if, based on this conversation or different than this conversation, how would each of you answer that for yourself? What is strong from within for you?
I love that I always, this hasn't always been the case in my life, but for the past several years, like, I check in with my body when you ask questions like that. It's like, okay, so defining strong from within is so much about a feeling of power of, you know, like on a physical level, it's like posture and rising and relaxation and deeper breath, all of that stuff. And that is maybe a physical outward sign of feeling potent and centered and grounded and more clear. And I think in most moments, strong from within means that I'm feeling that way, like I have potential and purpose and
potency,
strength and motivation. Yeah, potency, vitality, life, ecstasy. Because I have to say ecstasy at least once in every call.
Of course you do. You wouldn't be you otherwise. So
right.
There, you have a consistent thing among all these inconsistencies.
Right. Well, you know, I will say that when I get into places where I'm feeling really depressed and not feeling remotely strong, I'll go into that and I'll be like, oh my gosh, so what's the point of all this? And what is the point of all this? And that'll roll around in my head over and over and over. And I come around to a place that's like, oh, for me, the point is to feel ecstatic and alive. And that might last for just a little tiny bit in the day. On those days that might be particularly bad, or it might, you know, turn around my whole day or even my whole week or whatever it is. But I tend to come back to something like that. And I wonder, well, here we go. I wonder if that's actually one of the gifts of the level of depression that I've felt in the past year, to realize that, holy shit, the way that I come back out of it, however I get there, is usually this idea around I want to feel alive and ecstatic and sensually connected to the world around me and the people in it.
Yeah.
And so it's nice that that has been pretty consistent as an answer.
Hmm.
So,
yeah.
So my prescription is try to get yourself into a really deep depression, and then.
Oh, let's bottle this and sell this. Let's take this on the road.
Go home after in a big dark cave, cold, dank place.
That's right. And when you feel like you're ready to die, ask yourself, what's the point? Yeah.
Wow. See, we try and talk about the format of the evening, and we still go back to very deeply esoteric places.
Well, we're still talking about it because that is what makes me feel, that's what strong within, from within is for me.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I mean, I just did kind of this, you know, being around Gina for long, it's like, drop into your body, see what it feels like. and I immediately went to what would I feel like I would be, my sparkly star shiny.
Yes.
And like the enraptured feeling where you're just like in totally in the flow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like everything just kind of, the non-essential things just kind of fade away.
Mm. And the stupid, annoying things fade away also.
Uh-huh. Because you're totally in your own flow of doing you, being you.
Yeah.
And so all that other stuff is just stuff. And, you know, and if everybody was living strong with them, then everybody'd be being them. They wouldn't
true.
Be worried about you, your stuff and bothering you.
I love that. So if we each tended our own ecstatic, enraptured garden, all would be strong from within.
Totally.
All would be ecstatic and enraptured.
Like,
yeah.
You know, we'd all be... You know, I don't know if we'd ever have to go back to that really dark place to remember. And have to have the light in the dark. Maybe.
I've often wondered if contrast wasn't super overrated, but I don't know. Ethan starts with depression to catapult into ecstasy.
You know, and maybe all of us have had enough dark in our life so far that we could just shift into the light and live there for the rest of your life, and you wouldn't need to keep going back and forth.
I wonder if there's a place like that. I was on a walk today, and I was it started to get sunny, and I'm not a fan of actually being in the sun ever, almost. And so I was thinking, like, this thought came to my mind, and it was, the thing that makes the light interesting is the shadows.
Yeah. Well, and in Kundalini yoga, I mean, our whole existence for living is to remember that we're divine.
Mm-hmm.
We're all divine, and we've all forgotten. And so every experience we have is supposed to help us remember. That's the purpose of everything, good, bad, light, dark, hard, soft, is to help us remember.
And if we already completely remembered, there would be no need for contrast, I think is what I hear in what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'd all just be doing our remembered thing. We would be doing us. I'd do me amazingly all the time. Janet, you'd do you. Ephraim, you'd do you. And there we would be, just in our paradise. Huh. Huh.
Yeah. You know, so something that I've been thinking about is so I love that, like, there's this orientation to our own divinity and godhood, goddesshood, all of that stuff. And then we try to relate to people. And, like, when Janet, you were talking about the other stuff that doesn't matter as much, the first thought I had of that is included in that stuff is the opinions and ideas of other people. And yet, a part of me thinks, maybe a big part, that the relationship that we have with other people is so absolutely important. And, you know, I'm imagining, I am a god. And then, you know, somebody else is like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So maybe you still, like, poke you a little bit.
Exactly. You know, maybe that's a little piece of, okay, well, maybe that particular version of my declaration was a little too egoic, and that person is here to bring me humility, because if everything is about mastering divinity, then that statement was also. It was just another piece of the stuff that may or may not, well, it's another piece of the stuff designed for me to live stronger if I can take the step.
And maybe the whole contrast thing, dark and light, depression and ecstasy, maybe that's a pretty effective way to remember. My guess is there's probably a way to remember without the contrast, too.
Yeah.
And maybe that's happening simultaneously on some other plane. Maybe even for us, you know? Maybe there's some other universe where we're doing you, each of us, perfectly all the time. And we're like, well, this is fun, and let's see what happens if we throw in this other dimension. And so let's go to Earth for that part.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What's that, Janet?
I said that was an interesting thought. Of all the different planes of us, dimensions.
Yeah. So what's fascinating, I'm in the middle of writing the material for the next module, which is called Reliance. And the two things that I know I'm writing about so far is reliance on the divine and on being divine, and then reliance on people in our world. And so it's fascinating that you brought it around to that, Ephraim. And I'm wondering, as all this is unfolding, like, I don't tend to, the way I put content together, it doesn't tend to be like, oh, here's the definitive work. I want you all to learn this and memorize this because this is truth with a capital T. It's more like coach style. Hey, let's explore this. So what is this thing about divinity? What is this thing about relying on other people? So you already went there, Ephraim.
Well, yeah, and you know, one of the things that I'm thinking is, if we're all in a place where we recognize and that we're working toward divinity, our highest self, the greatest embodiment of our strengths and desires and purpose and all of that, and all the people around us are doing the same thing and respecting our process, it's, yeah, there might be some conflict and that would be so great. Now we're going utopian, but it's like, oh my gosh, that's you and your divinity, and I don't agree with that, but that's not me because that's you. How fantastic would that be? But in general, mm-hmm. you know, relating to people, it's more like, you know, you get a wrinkled face and somebody throws stones and they're like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, your version of divinity, I don't get at all, so I think I should crucify you to make it extreme because, you know, I'm extreme.
Well, that's true, though. Haven't we done that to people already?
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
You know, that one Christian God, whatever his name is, in particular.
That one guy that's always lost.
Yeah. And first. Yeah.
Yeah. If we were all truly living and working towards the divinity part, you wouldn't be so worried about everybody else's divinity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because
everybody's doing the best they can do, and we could all accept that and not get all judgy on them.
My goodness, what a world that would be.
Right. Well, I think that's a good place for us to close this evening, because what would that be like? And what if we started? You know, it's got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So here we are. This little itty-bitty quorum that who knows what we're capable of.
That's right. Doing that, your own God.
Wow. Well, thank you, both of you, for playing so fully in pretty much uncharted territory and well beyond and maybe exactly the scope of what we're up to here. And, you know, at the beginning, Ephraim, I had mentioned that I wanted to, like, talk about the details of the program because I've changed it so much and not everybody's understanding when we're meeting and all of that. And I think I'll just write an email for that. That doesn't seem like we have to add that into this mix. So
yeah, I agree. That sounds good.
Yeah. And now I'm going to look and see if the closing for, yeah, I think, okay, yeah. I told Ephraim before you arrived, Janet, that I chose the prayers for today, the opening one and the closing one, different than I usually do. I just, like, randomly pointed at a page rather than looking at material and saying, oh, I think this one. So this one, yeah, this is absolutely perfect. Here it is. It's called All of Me and None of Me. Who I am is enough. I allow my self-conscious limiting ideas about myself to drop away. I accept and embrace my fragile humanity and my infinite divinity. I take myself lightly. With bemusement and love, I acknowledge my quirks, inconsistencies, and attachments. With delight and love, I acknowledge my powerful presence. I am not.
Wow, that was a good, perfect.
Right? And this is going to sound really strange, but I want to acknowledge myself. That is from Thriving Work. So it's already published in a book that came out in 2011 and was written the year before, and some of it well before that. And I just want to acknowledge that I allowed that to come through me. I published it. I knew to bring it here today. It's like there's something about that that's how I know, Ephraim, to go back to, I'm not sure what happens after we die, but I'm pretty positive something continues. Like whatever all that is that happened to bring it here now, that's pretty amazing. And yeah. I love that. And to live for being that more, exploring that more, upholding that more, oh, it just feels so great. So
yeah.
Well, and I'm gonna say, I'm really excited that you just did the open a page and pick it, because you didn't have any control over it. That was awesome.
Right? Right? And then this is what shows up. Like, come on, there's something organizing some stuff here. It's bigger than my brain.
I would love I would love if you would type up or throw into an email the first one that you read and that one, because
okay.
they also seem to match so well, and whatever you
right?
put in the middle. But it's just like, it's almost like a teaser. It's like, we started here and we ended up here. Find out how.
If you don't listen to this recording, you are a moron.
It's right.
Oh my goodness. I will do that. I will absolutely do that. I hadn't considered the other thing that's amazing about that, Janet, is the first one came from the unpublished pile of prayers that are going in the Strong From Within book. So yeah, it's pretty shocking. I had a script and we did not cover the script. So, yay us.
Yay us.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. And you guys are the two perfect people to play that with, because that's naturally who you are. That is not so naturally who I am. I like the script. But apparently I'm more committed to the bigger picture.
That
that's cool.
is very true for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Anything else about anything else before we close officially for today?
I feel good.
Yay. Thank you. Janet?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, yeah. Thank you for coming. Better late. So
yeah.
Same time, same place next week. See
All
you guys
right, cool.
All right.
Great. Bye.
Bye for now.
Bye.